Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Democrat leaders playing politics with American lives and American national security.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I don't think the intelligence supports the conclusion that removing Soleimani increases our security.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This action was taken more in President Trump's self-interest rather than our national interest.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You heard there Adam Schiff, the former DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They all, of course, when they talk about the taking out of Qassem Soleimani, who, again, was the basically top terrorist in the world. I think it's the best way to describe him, because unlike bin Laden, who ran a terror group on his own, kind of self-funded through different financial aspects, and then ended up hiding out in caves through Al-Qaeda, and even I'd say Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who for a time was establishing this Islamic caliphate, was certainly extremely dangerous and carrying out horrendous acts, but ultimately was defeated on the battlefield and had to go and hide out and was ultimately killed like bin Laden while hiding out. Soleimani was actively engaged in international terrorism when he was killed by those drone strikes last week on the orders of President Trump. And you hear from everybody, including Elizabeth Warren, like Soleimani was a murderer responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans. But this is a reckless move. Joe Biden saying no Americans will mourn his passing. He deserved to be brought to justice for his crime. Deserved to be brought to justice for his crimes. But the administration's statement says it will defer future attacks by Iran. This action will have the opposite effect. We just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox. That was Joe Biden. So you deserve to be brought to justice, but it's going to cause more terror and chaos to get rid of the guy who was causing all the terror and chaos and deserved to die. I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This idea also, which I think is extremely dangerous, we're going to get into this with Wes Smith. We're hearing this from Pelosi and Schumer. You heard Adam Schiff say it. You know, they got the intel report about why it wasn't just Soleimani's past actions that justified what the president did, but that it was his future plans to attack Americans and American assets imminently is why they decided to take him out when he entered into Iraq. And they didn't go inside Iran to do it. It's when he landed in Iraq. Now they're saying, that's not good enough that you informed us. I don't know if we buy all of your intel. Of course, this is to embarrass the president, to, again, I think, put Americans at risk. It's playing politics with our national security. And they're saying now, this is the new Congress. Let's declassify it for the American people. You know, like the Ukraine call and all of your foreign policy decisions, President Trump. We need to declassify the ultra-classified statement that you gave to Congress, which is why they don't get told about things in advance. It's why you don't tell those members of Congress about things in advance. Because immediately they want to start declassifying what they read about Soleimani for the justifications for his attack. We should not be declassifying information like that. I know we live in an age where we all want to read everything, know everything, and it'd be wonderful if that was possible without putting our assets at risk. But for the most part, when you're talking about people like this, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's Quds Force, you shouldn't be going around saying, hey, let's just release that as well. This is an age where the Democrats, and it's interesting because Joe Lieberman wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal saying this, the Democrats and Iran, why can't the party's candidates for president simply admit Qassem Soleimani's death makes Americans safer and leave it at that? Why do we need to see, you saw the intel, the top congressional leaders. I don't need to see it. Americans don't need to see it. You're trying to undermine the president. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Well, it's playing politics with our national security, and it's Democrats who can't just, as you know, again, Joe Lieberman wrote, President Trump's order to take out Qassem Soleimani was morally, constitutionally, and strategically correct. It deserves more bipartisan support than the begrudging or negative reactions it has received thus far from my fellow Democrats. That is, again, Joe Lieberman, former vice presidential candidate for the Democrat Party. You hear Mike Pompeo in a podcast for AEI. He said, I'll be straight up with you. You have folks who served in the previous administration, the Obama administration, who are telling the Iranian leaders today, this is shocking, folks, just hang on. President Trump will lose the election in November. We'll go back to appeasement. America will write you a big check. We'll underwrite your terror campaign around the world. We'll give you a clear pathway to a nuclear weapon system. Just wait until the Trump administration is finished. And now we're hearing and bringing retired Colonel Wes Smith from our military analysis team, our national security team here at the ACLJ, because now we're hearing, which I think is so dangerous, is this idea is that we need to declassify the information provided to Congress for the justifications for this action to take out Qassem Soleimani.
Yeah, and that's naive, that's stupid. The Democrats know better than that. You know, we have sources on the ground virtually in every part of the world, including Iran. Some of our sources in Iraq, Iran, and other places that let us know where and how Soleimani was going to be traveling. If we were to release that information, even if we just released it to the Gang of Eight in Congress where they leak like a sieve, you would put people who give us this kind of intelligence and different organizations, sources and methods, as they call it, you would put them at grave, grave risk. What I find sickening really about all of this, Jordan, is that, and I hate to say this, but it's true. It seems that the Democrats care more about their party and about political considerations than they actually do about national security. I mean, Soleimani was one of the great mass murderers of our time. The president, you know, in spite of what they're saying, was authorized to do this. Anytime the president acts in self-defense for our nation and its assets, he does not need prior congressional approval to react to an imminent threat, which all the people in the administration are saying there was an imminent threat going on. And Soleimani, I'm sorry, and this I find disgusting too, this was not an assassination. He was a military officer. Right. He was wearing the uniform of Iran. He was a battlefield casualty, but he was a legitimate military target. Anytime you're facing an enemy that is killing Americans, any of their military people, whatever their rank, is a legitimate target. So, like I said, it's disgusting and sickening that the Democrats want to play politics with this when the lives of Americans and our national security is really what's at stake here.
Chris Van Hollen is a Democrat from Maryland. He got briefed on this. This was his response to Fox News. I think it's so disingenuous, because listen to it carefully what he says about getting the briefing with the justification, which, by the way, the president had 30 days to provide Congress with. They took two. So we got it to him right away. But take a listen to this Democrat, Chris Van Hollen, by 37.
While I can't tell you what was said, I can tell you I have no additional information to support the administration's claim that this was an imminent attack on Americans.
You know, again, he says, I can't tell you what was said. So I have no additional information to support the information. Now, he is right. He got a classified briefing. In that briefing, he could have gotten the additional information, but he can't talk about it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's absurdity. Mm-hmm. But it's trying to, as you said, it's like embarrassing the president. How do we embarrass the president? How do we discredit every decision he makes, even when it's one, as Joe Lieberman said, that we should all be celebrating? I mean, this is Iran we're talking about. Did World War III start because of this over the weekend? Did any of you see that action take? No. Will they respond some way? Sure. Cyber attacks, small attacks. We're beefing up our military presence there. But we had to do something. We've been taking out key terrorist leaders. Bin Laden's mm-hmm. son, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi from ISIS. Yeah, they get replaced. And their replacements are never as good, and they never are quite as strong, and they kind of just disappear, those groups, and they dissipate. Now, ISIS is one we have to keep an eye on. But in this case of Soleimani, again, it's like the left. They love to hate Iran. They think everything with Iran needed to be diplomatic. They've never supported the Iranian protesters. The vast majority of Iranians who are against the regime, the oppression of the regime, they always want to make a deal with the devil when it comes to Iran. And these deals never work. You know, we pulled out of the Iranian nuclear deal. Other countries stayed in. And you know what Iran told those other countries this weekend? Goodbye. Mm-hmm. We're going ahead with our nuclear program, which is what they were doing all along anyways.
Absolutely. We just, you know, we couldn't prove it, but we all know they were still doing nuclear research for nuclear weapons. You know, Iran is in a hard place right now. You know, just last month, demonstrations broke out, Jordan, the largest demonstrations in Iran since the 1979 revolution, when thousands and thousands took to the streets. And yet in the midst of these demonstrations, and by the way, they were shouting, among other things, death to Khamenei, their supreme leader.
Right.
They were protesting the exporting of terror around the world with Iranian dollars while the people are struggling with water shortages and job shortages and food shortages. And in the midst of these demonstrations in November and December, it was Soleimani who actually called out his Quds forces, and they opened fire on the demonstrators. Some reports saying that hundreds of Iranians were killed in the streets by Soleimani's forces. Thousands more were imprisoned. This guy was the greatest mass murderer of the last decade. And I can't believe, as you said, the disingenuous reactions from the president's political foes. There's a time when we need to present a united front. This is one of those. Whenever you have Democrat leaders saying some of the things they've been saying over the last several days, it presents to our enemies really comfort and support. They take great pleasure in seeing how fractured we are as an American society. And these are the people, Jordan, that really want to kill us. It's unconscionable, yeah. Some of the reactions.
No, it really is. I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Dan in California online too. Dan, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jay. I appreciate it.
Thanks
for being here every morning.
Thanks, Dan.
Basically, just sitting there on hold listening to the two of you talk, it's more or less kind of some of the same things that I wanted to state. I don't have the knowledge that the two of you do. But just as an American looking into the picture of how Trump's handled his situation, militarily speaking, from the smart bomb to Baghdadi, now this, he has been very strategic in a very intelligent way, from my view, to keep less damage to more troops than he's doing and being precise. And he's calling their bluff, if even if that's not his intention. He still is getting a strong picture of who Trump is. And I agree wholeheartedly with it, with how the Democrats are playing the cards on this one. It's scary to me internally on how the rest of the world looks at our fractured political system. That's basically all I have to say.
I mean, listen to Dan, listen to Adam Schiff. He goes on CNN, State of the Union, you know, so he's on yesterday live with Jake Tapper. He's the head of the House Intelligence Committee. He can't stand the president. He wants to impeach the president. Take a listen, Byte 34.
You acknowledge, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs have said, and others in the Trump administration have said, that there, that Soleimani was heading a plot to attack American interests in the region. That is accurate?
It's accurate, but it's also true that Soleimani has been plotting against the United States for decades. The question is, did the plotting here rise to the level that required his elimination from the battlefield? And would that elimination stop the plotting?
I mean, first of all, Adam Schiff saying, yes, it's accurate that he's been plotting against American interests, plot imminently. You know, that not just he did, but he's going to. But will his killing stop the plotting? You take the lead guy out, it certainly throws a wrench in there.
Absolutely. And this idea that...
And it didn't just take him out. It took also the lead guy out from the militia force that would be carrying out his plans.
Yeah, exactly. And then Schiff's statement that the question is, did the plotting here rise to the level that requires his elimination from the battlefield? What a stupid question. You know, at what point, how many Americans did he have to kill?
And if you're on the battlefield, you're a target for elimination.
Yes, you are. But how many, I'd like to ask Adam Schiff exactly how many Americans have to die before he becomes a legitimate target to eliminate from the battlefield?
Yeah. And this is someone, again, who was responsible for spreading all of Iran's international terrorism, their kidnapping campaigns, their working with drug cartels. I mean, this was the worst of the worst people in the world. Was people like Qassem Soleimani, and even more dangerous than some of these other terrorist actors because he was backed up by a state structure, a nation state structure, one that's very weak right now, but still a nation state structure with more resources than most terrorist groups would have. We come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And listen, we're going to get into the impeachment update too. What's going on? You know, the House is back, Senate came back Friday. What's going on with these votes that are planned? We're going to get into that in the second half hour of the broadcast. So we'll get more into that. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of information up. Great articles up about all of this at aclj.org. Check it out, aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Yeah, I hold in my hands here, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This article, flashback, Obama launches 2,800 strikes on Iraq and Syria without congressional approval. 2,800 strikes on Iraq and Syria without congressional approval. Why? Well, in a written statement to the New York Times, President Obama's White House legal team defended the campaign against ISIS, referred to as ISIL. Remember, they loved doing that in 2014, writing, quote, the president may rely on the 2001, which I hold in my hands, authorization of use of military force as statutory authority for the military airstrike operations he is directing against ISIL. Did Democrats question him then? 2,800 strikes without any congressional approval. A full-scale war was started with ISIS under President Obama. He called them the JV team, but it was still a full-scale war, conflict. But you don't call it a war, so you don't have to use the War Powers Resolution. Did they get congressional approval? No, not at all. And in fact, when you look at the what has been authorized, Wes, this goes back to 2001. It's been updated. But it says, whereas the president has authority under the Constitution, this was passed by Congress and has not been repealed, to take action to deter and prevent acts of international terrorism against the United States. The president's authorized to use all necessary and appropriate force against those nations, organizations, or persons that have carried out these terrorist attacks. They talk about the linkage to 9/11, which you can make to all of these groups, including Qasem Soleimani, who you may say, well, Shia, Sunni, aren't they different? There was all the safe passage that Iran was allowing for these terrorists. A number of them passed through Iran and Iranian-controlled territories at the time to make their way to the United States, ultimately, while they were on their planning. So, again, I look at that, these 2,800 strikes by Obama. One strike by President Trump gets this kind of outrage from the left.
And the paragraph you referred to ends by saying that the president's authorized to launch these attacks in order to prevent any future acts of international terrorism against the United States by such nations, organizations, or persons, which is exactly what the president did. You know, there was an imminent attack. There was the potential for hundreds of American lives to be lost, as well as others. And this joint resolution is very, very plain. The president is authorized to act to prevent such attacks.
And I would say, too, these joint resolutions, which you can rely on, you don't even have to have.
Exactly.
I mean, just Congress did it, but you don't have to have it. I mean, the War Powers Act, when it has ever been challenged in court, it's never really stood up well. These every time Congress. So now, why are we talking about this? Well, Nancy Pelosi, they're going to hold a vote in the House. Mm-hmm. On a new War Powers Resolution to limit President Trump's ability to get into a conflict with Iran, which is a joke that the president, it is a scam on the American people that the president is rushing into some full-on war with Iran. He has said we will respond to their aggression, as we have been, but he's not asking for a full-scale war.
No, absolutely not. Here's the thing
They're trying to scare America thinking that we're going to get into this full-scale war, when in fact, we're just upping the pressure there, we're upping our troops to keep. Because if you up the troops, also keeps the troops that are already there safer.
We can also make the case, while we have not, you know, admitted that we've been at war with Iran for the last 40 years, starting in 1979, the Ayatollah Khomeini and all of his successors since then have stated that they are at war with the United States. You know, whether or not you're in a conflict or a war with another nation, you know, a lot of that, you know, the enemy gets a vote whether or not they're at war, and Iran says they are at war with us. But on the other hand, we are not in a full-scale war with them. But here's the thing. Ali Khamenei, their religious supreme leader, he is not a stupid man. He knows that with all of the unrest at home and the economic woes that country is facing, and with the might, the superior force of the United States military, he cannot afford to get in an all-out war with the United States, because it would spell the end of his regime completely. He is not stupid. He knows that. That's not to say they won't react and through their proxies try to inflict casualties on some of our allies. I think personally at this point, they're not interested in starting a war with the United States. And probably for a while, they're not going to target individual Americans because the president has made clear, you attack a Saudi oil field, we might look the other way. You shoot down an unarmed drone, we might look the other way. You kill an American, and we're going to fight back. Yeah, and they know that.
Hey, listen to Jay Johnson. Let me remind you, he was the former Secretary of Homeland Security for President Obama. He got asked about, was it legitimate, was it legal for President Trump to take this action? Now, remember, you're listening to President Obama's former head of the Department of Homeland Security. Take a listen.
If you believe everything that our government is saying about General Soleimani, he was a lawful military objective. Mm-hmm. And the president, under his constitutional authority as commander in chief, had ample domestic legal authority to take him out without an additional congressional authorization.
Without additional congressional authorization, legitimate military target, Wes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've been saying all along. Under his Article II powers, as well as the provisions of the War Powers Resolution that dates back to the 1970s, he had complete authority to do what he did.
And this is where I think Chris Murphy, he's another Democrat from Connecticut, a senator. This is why we titled the show today and said that they are playing, the Democrat leaders are playing politics with American security and our national security. Because he gets it totally wrong here. Take a listen to Byte 26.
We do not generally execute high-level political figures of sovereign nations, in part because we know that that opens a Pandora's box that may expose American officials to assassination, but also because we know that ultimately that might get more Americans killed, as it likely will.
The administration.
We have acknowledged that this was a very powerful guy inside Iran, and probably maybe top two, top three most powerful people inside Iran. But guess what he was not? Chris, he was not, Senator Murphy, a high-level political figure.
He was not
a high-level military figure.
Exactly, with political connection to the supreme leader. He was not a political figure. He wasn't elected by the people of Iran. He wore a uniform. He was a two-star general. He was a military figure. This is part of their twisting of the truth. And if Americans are naive and they aren't read up on this, they will think that what Chris Murphy is saying is totally legitimate. It could not be.
How could you go to war with anybody if everybody is everybody in uniform is now a politician and is from a sovereign nation? Well, some sovereign nations carry out attacks that guess what, threaten their own sovereignty. Honestly, so if you keep being the aggressor like Iran is and these provocative attacks. Ultimately, you are threatening your own national sovereignty, and we may start targeting high-level military actors inside your leadership structure. That is not politicians.
No, and the naivety, and I'll be so bold as to say the cowardice of Senator Murphy to say that we can't strike back someone who's trying to kill us because that might make them want to kill us, that it will actually lead to more escalation of conflict or combat. I mean, since when do Americans quit killing the enemy for fear that we will, you know, somehow incite the enemy to kill more of us? That is naive. It is cowardly.
All right, folks, remember, we've got a second half hour Jay Sekulow Live coming up. We're going to take your phone calls as it relates to this reaction, which has just been so absurd from the Democrats. Let's declassify the information for the American people to see, because this is the new world we live in. I love access to information, too, but, you know, sometimes be a patriot and realize, like, we're not going to share that with everybody. We're not going to put our own national security interest at risk. We should all be celebrating the death, the killing of this horrendous human being, okay? This terrorist, this evildoer, Qassem Soleimani. And instead, we're having political debates over it because everything that President Trump does becomes a political debate. It's disgusting. We have a second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome to the second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls right away, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, listen, we're going to talk impeachment. We're going to talk where it stands. The trial could have started today. Nancy Pelosi, if she would have done the normal course of, you know, naming the House managers, turning the articles over to the Senate, we could have had the impeachment trial beginning. As many news outlets have reported, my dad would have likely been part of that team there in the Senate, playing some role in his representation of the president. So that's not happening right now. And Nancy Pelosi's got nothing new on that. And in fact, Adam Schiff is talking about third articles of impeachment. And I tweeted about last night, the idea is perpetual harassment of the president, perpetual impeachment. We talked about it with Congressman Gohmert. We've talked about it with other leaders. Is the idea that they don't actually want to move to the Senate trial, even with this news about John Bolton would testify if subpoenaed. That doesn't tell you that much information. You still have your Fifth Amendment rights. If you show up and you could answer some things, not answer other things. I mean, it's the idea of all of this. There's no trial date. I mean, this is in Nancy Pelosi is trying to prevent the trial from occurring because they know ultimately the president will be exonerated. And that's not good for Democrats leading into the 2020 election. So instead, they've made a calculation. Let's keep all the focus away from our candidates. I talked about this over the weekend on Twitter. Keep the focus away from our candidates. They're horrible. Democrat candidates for president. And keep all the focus on the president. So even if he does something good, like kills an international terrorist leader, we'll acknowledge that that guy should have died, but we'll question President Trump's motives behind it. So we're going to ask all of this. Take a listen. This is between exchange with Chris Wallace and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who I think has been laying this out very clearly to everyone over and over and over again. Here's an interesting exchange by 12.
Some analysts suggest that the impeachment of President Trump has emboldened enemies like Iran and North Korea to think that they can confront him. Do you think that, as misguided as it may be, that some of our enemies think that this president is more vulnerable because of the impeachment effort?
You should ask Mr. Soleimani.
I mean, you can't get any more. Yeah, right there. That's it. I mean, this president has got, you know, they say the impeachment's hanging it over his head. They won't even hang it over his head. They're scared of taking it to trial for all good and serious purposes. It's like a fake impeachment, like we've said. It's a scam because they're not willing to try the impeachment. So they want to use it to try and hurt the president. They think this is somehow weakening the president. We just took out Iran's top terrorist leader. Really, the guy who gave them influence around the world is dead. Mm-hmm. Post-impeachment by the House.
Yeah, you know, and the thing I find remarkable is that the president can do all the things that he's done in these first 3 years in office with all of the attacks from the Democrats and the impeachment, but the economy continues to thrive. He continues to have national security and the safety of our citizens and soldiers around the world as his most important issue that he deals with. And I loved Pompeo's, you know, five-word answer to Chris Wallace. You should ask Mr. Soleimani. The president continues to act as the commander-in-chief. The Democrats don't like it, but that is his chief responsibility to protect and defend, you know, America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and he's doing a remarkable job in light of everything.
We're going to update you on where the impeachment stands, too, as well. We come back from this break. We're going to start taking your phone calls as well. We do that usually final segment. We'll get to all your calls. People have been holding on. I know Jerry, Roger, Michelle, Chris, Carolyn, we'll get to your phone calls. The president, you know, tweeting out that Iran is talking very boldly about targeting certain U.S. assets. And then he goes on to say that this is a warning that if Iran strikes any Americans or American assets, we have targeted 52 Iranian sites representing the 52 American hostages taken by Iran many years ago. Some at a very high level and important to Iran and the Iranian culture. And those targets in Iran itself will be hit very fast and very hard. The U.S. wants no more threats. He also then tweeted, let this be a notice to Congress. And if Iran takes any actions, we will respond. That was his notice to Congress right there. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to get into some impeachment talk as well. We're going to talk about, again, the politics of all of this and the politics of the killing of Qassem Soleimani, who was not a politician in Iran. He was in the military. He was Iran's top terrorist. Let's just be honest about it. He was their exporter of terrorism around the world. He was responsible for killing Americans. The Trump administration said he was planning an imminent attack on Americans and American interests, and they provided that information to Congress in a timely manner, as they are supposed to under the rules of the law. And as Secretary Pompeo says, they will continue to do that, play within and again act within the rules set forth by Congress, by the laws, to inform Congress the correct way. I want to take a phone call, then we'll get to some of this impeachment talk as well about, you know, kind of like where things stand. But Jerry's been holding on. Online one, we'll get you a signed copy of my book, The Next Red Wave. Jerry, you are on the air.
Hello, team. Colonel West's assessment about not burning our sources accurate. He's military. Some of the electorate who are listening over time, we're starting not to listen to anybody who is for Mueller, who's for anything anti-Trump since the time he got into office. So when they talk, it's like listening to Charlie Brown, the teacher. Wah 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 wah. They don't hold any credibility.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I mean, listen, we live in a time right now where he provides the intel, and all these Democrats say it's great that he's dead, but he shouldn't have been killed, basically.
Yeah.
I don't like the intel. And by the way, we should make the intel public to the American people.
Yeah, on CNN, the one guy that said it was the right decision by the wrong commander-in-chief, what kind of stupidity is that? You know, and he's right. I think the American people understand more about this as far as national security goes, and they're turned off when Democrats take this and make it a political issue. I think it's very disenfranchising to the American people and very disillusioning. And as we've said on this broadcast before, the Democrats continue to dig their own political grave, and they will pay a tremendous price in November, I believe, simply because they are so blatantly political. They are so blatantly anti-President Trump, even if he does the right thing. And the American people are wise. They're owned to that. And it's a shame.
You know, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get into the impeachment issue as well for a moment, because I think it's clear to, and we, if you got calls about that, start to put those calls in now. Comments on Facebook as well and Periscope, 1-800-684-3110. We should have been in an impeachment trial beginning today. That's the honest truth. It should have started today. Senate was back Friday. House is back. They should have transferred over those articles of impeachment, named who their House managers would be, so that, one, for the good of the country, if you believe that impeachment has any meaning at all anymore in the Constitution, when the House takes the action, if it means anything, then for the good of the country, you move on to the trial and you get it over with as quickly as possible, but thoroughly, but as quickly as possible, because it is such a major decision that you're asking the Senate to make. Whether or not to remove a president who was elected from office less than a year before the next election. But see, this is such a joke impeachment because of what it's based off of. And so now we've got a couple of proposals. I want to go to Harry Hutchins on this, top legal analyst from our legal policy team. And Harry, we've got a couple options being proposed. One, and we'll let them speak for themselves, but one is from Senator Lindsey Graham, and he's saying, listen, if Nancy Pelosi, she's got days, basically, is what he said over the weekend, not weeks, days, to either get these articles of impeachment transferred over to the Senate, or I'm going to push for a Senate rule change, which requires a 51 vote. It doesn't require a supermajority to change the rules so we can go ahead with the trial, that she can't hijack the trial. So that's one option that's on the table now. It is totally doable under the Senate rules. They do have to get 51 Republicans to go along with it. That may be some kind of hurdle there with some of the moderates. But he's just saying, we're not going to do nothing. We're not going to sit here and do nothing.
Yes, I think Senator Graham expresses well the frustration of Senate Republicans and perhaps some Senate Democrats. Essentially, Nancy Pelosi has decided that it is within her constitutional power to hold the U.S. Senate hostage. And I think her analysis reflects a distinct misreading of the Constitution. The Senate is entitled to its own rules, and it has the power to try President Trump after the House of Representatives has issued its impeachment. And I think it is clear to every American that the House, certainly they have announced that they have indeed impeached the president. But Nancy Pelosi essentially wants to blackmail the Senate. And I think Senator Graham and Senator Hawley, who's also announced that he will introduce a measure to dismiss impeachment, arguing that Pelosi is disrespecting the Constitution. I think Senator Graham's proposal and Senator Hawley's proposal demands consideration, if you will, by the entire Senate. They have the power, they have the right to change the rules because they have been granted power by the Constitution. So I think Nancy Pelosi should respect the Constitution, but I think it is clear beyond question to the American people that Nancy Pelosi does not respect the Constitution unless it gives her a political advantage.
Here's what Senator Lindsey Graham had to say just directly about it, about what he's looking at timing-wise. And what he would offer the House Democrats to be able to participate in, too. I mean, he's not saying they wouldn't be able to get their House managers over and present their case. Take a listen by 31.
If we don't get the articles this week, then we need to take matters in our own hands and change the rules, deem them to be delivered to the Senate so we can start the trial, invite the House over to participate if they would like. If they don't come, dismiss the case and get on with governing the country.
You know, there it is. So get on with governing the country. Start the trial, deem them to be delivered. The articles are public, so are the reports that go with them, the hundreds of page reports from the Judiciary Committee and the Intel Committee that follow the two articles. They're all public anyways, so the Senate has access to them. Deem them to be delivered. Ask the House to send over their representatives, their managers, if you will, to present their case. So give the Democrats a chance to present their case. But if they don't, dismiss it. Get on with governing. And as you can see, the president, he is getting on with governing. This idea that he's, you know, carried out this attack to distract from impeachment. Why? Politically, why would you want to distract from this impeachment? It's so unpopular with the American voter. You don't want to distract from that. You want to intentionally, if you're Donald Trump, distract from that. There, first of all, there's no trial going on. What is he distracting from? Second, The more the American people hear about it, the more they hate this impeachment. There's polls out show 66% of Americans think the Democrats just need to focus on working with President Trump on issues leading up into the election and enough with the impeachment. 66%. Because there's an election, and we're in the election year. Now, there's another idea here to get this dismissed even quicker. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican Missouri, he's putting forward this idea. This would take a vote as well, a rule change, by 28.
Nancy Pelosi is attempting to obstruct a Senate trial. That's all there is to it. We need to change the Senate rules to allow the Senate to dismiss this case if she refuses to send the articles over.
And Harry, what we're hearing is he's going to put forward that resolution today. It's very similar to what Senator Lindsey Graham is saying, is that we can take the trial over. House, you want to send over your managers and present your case? Fine, we'll bring over the Chief Justice. If not, we'll vote like a motion to dismiss.
I think that's correct. I think Senator Hawley and to some extent Senator Graham are basically saying to the United States House of Representatives, you have engaged in a woefully incomplete investigation, and the Senate is not going to do your job. So essentially, if you want more information, do your job. Since you are incapable of doing the job, then we essentially will exercise our constitutional power to move forward. And I think the American people would appreciate that. However, I think Nancy Pelosi and to some extent Chuck Schumer believe that they can blackmail the United States Senate into calling witnesses that the House of Representatives failed to call. The House of Representatives told the American people time and time again, this is an existential constitutional crisis that demands immediate action, so we must impeach President Trump. Having impeached President Trump, they say, well, let's hold on to the articles. Let's go on a holiday. Let's have a good time, and let's party while the American people are waiting for the U.S. Congress to do their job.
Folks, we've got a full segment coming up. We're going to take lots of phone calls. We're going to take phone calls on Iraq, Soleimani, and his killing. This idea that, oh, we need the intel now. And you got it. Well, it needs to be made public. Okay, well, everything is not the Ukraine call. This questioning every move by the president. You just look ridiculous, Democrats. You look absurd. We're going to talk about that. Take your impeachment calls. We're just taking phone calls. Final segment of the show today. As everything kind of gets back into the flow on this Monday.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
We had a good question come in on the impeachment. It was from Valerie on Facebook. She wrote, is Pelosi obstructing the process by not delivering the articles of impeachment? I go back to this. I don't think the founders ever intended that if the House truly believed they gave the power of the House the sole power to impeach and the Senate the sole power to try the impeachment, that if the House did move to impeach the President of the United States who was elected and actually remove them from, you know, and vote to say to the Senate, we want to put forward a case to remove this president from office. Here's the evidence. You know, you decide. We'll present it to you. That you'd get that over to the Senate as quickly as possible if you actually believed, Harry, that the president needed to be removed from office because he was a national security threat, which is in the reports, not the articles, but in the report. He's a national security threat to the country and to our elections. Then you would, as the founders would intend, if you were the House, get that over to the Senate as quickly as you could for trial if you actually believed it and believed that these articles held any weight.
I think you're right, but I think it's also important to keep in mind that the Democrats probably only believe 10% of what they claim publicly. So you had a situation where members of the House of Representatives said that President Trump poses an existential threat to the Constitution, to the 2020 election, to national security, and perhaps to world peace, but we are going to hold on to these articles of impeachment. And so their actions belie the statements that they have made. So essentially, they have been fibbing on a massive scale to the American people, and I think the American people are wising up to the fact that the Democrats have an uncomfortable relationship with the truth.
You know, I want to go to Carolyn's call online, too. This talks about, again, this it's kind of mixing these two because I think they're both important. They kind of go together because it's undermining the credibility of our president, right? So this impeachment that hangs over, but we're not going to actually move forward with the trial. He kills Qassem Soleimani. But by the way, even though he's informed us of the intel about why, what was the imminent threat that caused this action that made him ultimately make the decision that he had the authority to do, now they want that to be made public to the American people. We've got calls about it. Carolyn, Texas, online too. Carolyn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Okay, so I'm a veteran.
Yep.
And I'm going to say it up front. I don't even like President Trump.
Yeah.
But
hey, totally your opinion. That's fine.
But this is the deal. If they're going to declassify information to the American people on a military strike, do they understand they're going to get our people killed? I'll quote Jay Sekulow. If you get a president that you don't like, you support, you give them credit when they do the right thing.
Yeah.
You can be critical when they don't. President Trump did the right thing.
Yeah, that's like it's like when we praise President Obama for the attack on Osama bin Laden. It was a risky one too. President Trump, for the most part, he got praised for the one with Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Then they tried to downplay it, saying it was not as if, but then he takes out a major player, as you said, Carolyn, and we thank you for your service to our country. And you could put aside your politics for the moment and say, good move, Mr. President. Doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to vote for you for re-election, but good move. And we're not going to declassify information. I mean, you know a lot about this, Wes, the declassification of targeting and reasons for conduct. We allow these select members of Congress to get this information so that there is a check on power. But all they do is then rush to television to say, it wasn't enough for me, or, well, what I can tell you is I can't tell you anything about it. So since I can't tell you anything about it, I have nothing for you to justify it. I can't tell you anything that would justify it, so we need to make it public.
Yeah, and Carolyn's exactly right. No matter how you feel about the president, if this kind of information were to be shared and become public, you would not only endanger American military person around the world, you would endanger sources and methods of people in the intel community, not just in our country, but in other allied countries. You'd put all of them at risk simply because you're blinded by political hatred. To put the lives of innocent Americans and people in uniform at risk because of your political animus, you know, that's just unthinkable. It really is. And Carolyn's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, Ilhan Omar tweeting out, January 4th, the president of the United States is threatening to commit war crimes on Twitter. God help us all. Hashtag 25th Amendment, which is that his own, that, you know, that he's incompetent, that he should be removed by his own cabinet. It's just, I know Ilhan Omar is going to defend terrorism. She's going to defend terrorist leaders if they're Islamic. She has no idea what it would be like, though, to try and live in one of those countries and speak the way she speaks. I mean, you know, she left one of those countries like that, Somalia, war-torn because of Islamic terrorism, coming to America and then accusing our president of committing, threatening to commit war crimes because he says he will take out things that are, what they're talking about there is that things that are important to the Iranian culture. Well, this current Iranian regime and their culture, is the Ayatollah a legitimate target? He's pretty important to the culture. I mean, he's a pretty dangerous guy if you believe that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror. I'm just saying. He didn't just say, I'm just going to blow up mosque to blow up mosque. It's not what he was saying. But that's, of course, how it's interpreted. I want to go back to the phone calls. We'll take as many calls as we can. Michelle, hold on. Washington State, we'll get your book signed by me. Michelle, thanks for joining us on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call. Both the impeachment process and this now trying to divulge classified information, as I've kind of been looking at things, is proof of disloyalty to the U.S. It's not even just about President Trump. And that is covered under Article 1, Section 5, Clause 2 of the Constitution as grounds for expulsion in the Senate or the House. And I'm just wondering if anybody's preparing documents to that effect, especially if the Senate is pushing for classified information to be released, that would do just what Carolyn said, have our people killed, have our methods and our information, classified information, exposing all of America. The top job of the President of the United States is to protect it. And I find Pelosi as disloyal to the U.S. when she calls for impeachment and doesn't push it through. It must be emergent if it's impeachment.
Yeah.
And that is, it, they don't, just because they don't have a time frame in the Constitution, they don't need to. It's immediate and obvious.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole point. Listen, I agree with everything you're saying. I think this idea, again, of well, we need to declassify this information, this idea we have to question now everything from this president, undermine everything from this president. Look, he's just getting stronger and stronger as we speak. The Democrats are getting weaker and weaker. I'll take the final call really quickly. Nancy's been holding on. Nancy from California, because I think we could just answer quickly. You're on the air.
Hi there. So I'm wondering, if the House doesn't send this signed papers over, is it legally considered an impeachment? Like, I mean,
we're talking, you know, it's legally, it's the Constitution that just says the House has the sole power to impeach. They can impeach with just, you know, the majority vote. They don't need a supermajority. The Senate has the sole power to try impeachment. They have to have a supermajority, two-thirds of those present. That would be 67 out of 100. So it does give more rules to the Senate. It says you have to get a supermajority. So there's nothing else that really governs it. There are questions, though. Is it legitimate? I would say this. If they refuse to move on it, it's not. Because you impeach because you think that there's a real risk and a real problem that has to be addressed immediately. And if you can just sit on it for political purposes, it's phony. And in a sense, they're just demeaning a constitutional power that Congress once had that was very serious, that they are making not very serious at all. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all these issues. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.